a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Thanks for being part of our ever-evolving world travel get-together, everyone. Mary and I appreciate you being aboard with us on this last weekend of April, or day 40 of the presidential guidelines to slow the spread, as I've been reminding you. And for today's B-Block, we've decided to reconnect with show friend Richard Abalafia and spend some time discussing the airline sector of travel. Before we do that, however, a brief word about TravelGuard travel insurance.
Well, certainly current circumstances involving this pandemic virus have made one thing pretty clear. That's the reality that you just never know when it comes to emergency situations when you're out traveling about. If you are planning a vacation for maybe this summer or the fall or something coming up in the future, don't put your investment or well-being at risk. Do what we do. We get our travel insurance from our friends at TravelGuard.com. It's affordable, and it's going to give you a lot of different protection in a good variety of ways.
It really does. There are many different types of coverage to protect your specific travel needs. Whatever level or type that you choose for your travels, get the coverage you should have at TravelGuard.com or find a link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
And now we're headed straight to that show hotline. It's Richard Abalafia is back with us today and holding, and there's certainly a lot for us to cover with him regarding the airlines.
There certainly is. Richard, how are you? How's your family managing through this upside-down world we're all living in?
Oh, you know, we're coping, Robert. You know, it's I think for anybody who enjoys travel and the aviation business and everything like that, this is not exactly second nature, but we're adapting. Thank you.
Well, I think that's the exact word, adapting right now. So as Mary just suggested, there really is so much that we could talk about today with regards to airlines. So why don't we start off with you giving everyone your top-down view into the current state of the industry and really some insights for it rebounding post-pandemic.
Yeah, you know, the bad news is we're in completely uncharted turf. We've never seen anything like this. You look at bad years for air travel in the past. Obviously, 9/11 comes to mind, the 2008 financial meltdown, Gulf War I. You know, typically when the year ends, you're down a point or two, maybe three. I think that's the worst year we've seen. And here we are, no way to sugarcoat this. If we make a miraculous fourth quarter recovery, which we probably won't, we will still be down 48%. Year over year in terms of air travel demand worldwide. That's more of an apocalypse than any kind of, market cycle. So that's bad. If there is any kind of good, the perspective I get talking to people is that once we find a cure or a post-infection therapy or something for this disease, then I think demand will come roaring back and we'll get back to peak.
Agree.
But right now, things are very difficult.
Yeah, agree on all counts. So, Richard, the Treasury Department has reached some agreements with many of the U.S. airlines, both large and small. But then, you know, we see something like the numbers starting to come out. Delta Airlines this week reported a pre-tax loss over $600 million for first quarter. They're projecting greater losses eventually in second quarter. Southwest numbers will be out sometime this week. United has said they're likely to have major layoffs later in the year. I mean, they're all American, JetBlue. As you said, this is really uncharted and just almost apocalyptic. So, again, you're right. We can't sugarcoat this. So, my question is, do you envision a number of mergers for the airlines to survive? Do you think that there's going to be downsizing? I realize this is speculation, but maybe loss of service to some cities across the U.S.? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
You know, there's so much to discuss, and part of it is the longevity of this this crisis, because the cash that's being provided by the federal government under the CARES Act is pretty reasonable. The terms aren't always exactly what the airlines wanted. They didn't want any loans. They wanted grants, but 70% is still in the form of a grant. But it's going to tie them over like 4 or 5 months, maybe six, which means if this lasts longer, and it almost certainly will, there'll need to be another aid package. And if there isn't, then all of these need to be on the possible list of possibilities, you know, mergers, acquisitions, whatever else, and hopefully not bankruptcies, but you can't rule them out. And already we've seen a couple.
Yeah, well, right.
So
yeah.
There's a great deal that depends upon the longevity here.
And it's not just the big companies because, you know, 40% of the passenger departures in the U.S., I mean, they come from regional carriers. But I want to go in a different direction with you because I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, something that caught my attention, and it's really how the big airlines are looking into selling miles in bulk to their credit card partners to raise more cash. in my opinion, it's short-sighted. It's a, you know, because it underscores a level of desperation that is out there in the industry, and it's going to sacrifice future revenues when airlines might be struggling even more, as we just mentioned, you know, in the months or perhaps years ahead. So the airlines did the same thing after 9/11. They did it again during the 2008 downturn. Do you support the move? Do you like it? Or, you know, as a leading analyst, do you find it rather concerning?
I do find it concerning, you know, for all the reasons you just said. I mean, this is going to be a long game. You got to position yourself for the long haul. But on the other hand, I understand the desperation. And with credit markets freezing up and whatever else, there was this desperate quest for liquidity among many businesses. So I understand the reason, but I just don't really love that they had to do this.
So if we look at the domestic airline industry with the major carriers, Alaska, American, Delta, JetBlue, Southwest, United, and some others, or the smaller operators around the U.S. like Republic, Silver Airways, SkyWest, ExpressJet, is there a sector of the industry, Richard, that maybe you feel a little more positive about, one over the other?
Well, you know, some of the regionals, you know, like Republic or SkyWest, might not be in a terrible place because, well, with the aid money being provided, the majors do have to pay their suppliers, including regionals, and honor their contracts. And also they're looking for ways to maintain their network breadth that, you know, aren't on the balance sheet. And that's what regionals can do for them. So that might not be bad. The other end of the spectrum, not to, you know, not to make this all about negatives, but, you know, you look at the likely changes in the business coming in the coming months, and probably you're going to see middle seats not sold, more seat pitch between just because of social distancing or mm-hmm. whatever form of it we have. And in that context, it's really tough, or will be really tough, to differentiate yourself on the basis of cost. So the ultra-low-cost carriers might have a very tough business model if this goes on beyond a year.
That's a good point.
Well, Ryanair came out this week and made a statement, didn't they? That if the middle seat goes away, they may not fly.
Yeah, well, you know, and there are some people out there that might say, you know, amen to that.
Okay.
But, you know, the reality is they provide so much airlift to people. Mm-hmm. It's important. And something I'll say this, you know, we could talk all day about the domestic or the international carriers, but what it really comes down to is they need aircraft. They need equipment. They need maintenance. We had Les Abend on with us last week, and we were talking about the expense and logistics involving, you know, the short and long-term parking of jets. But many of the suppliers make up, you know, most of their money on repairs. And I'm not talking specifically about the manufacturers, Boeing and Airbus. So with older aircraft unlikely to return to the skies, there are going to be fewer repairs occurring. It's going to create a ripple effect for the engine makers, the maintenance and remodeling companies, really in all the businesses that support them. Do you see that, Richard, as well?
Yeah, I think that's actually probably the biggest thing that's not being discussed, the meltdown in aftermarket support businesses. Because when you look at aftermarket support, you start with traffic. And, of course, if that's down by 50%, you start with that for your negotiating point and how bad it gets in aftermarket. But then on top of that, when you have a crisis like this, airlines destock. They go through their existing inventories of rotables and stuff, and they stop ordering it because they're destocking. And then on top, you got a bunch of retirements, which means there's a lot of used and serviceable material being taken from these retired
Absolutely.
Jets and used in exchange. So it's a real challenge to profitability and volume in that part of the industry.
All right. Last topic. Over the past 14 months on this show, we've talked a lot about Boeing. We've had conversations
sure
with you about it, of course, involving the 737 MAX. And they are still all there for them, but they have a bigger issue with airlines canceling orders for that jet and others, and the same goes for Airbus. I'd like your outlook for Boeing and Airbus. I know it's hard to predict, but any thoughts on that?
You know, it's going to be a really tough couple of years. Typically, mm-hmm. a bus cycle, which we haven't seen since like 2003, involves a 35 to 40% revenue haircut. That isn't good. Mm-hmm. And right now, given the number of parked jets, two-thirds of the fleet is parked, really nobody needs an aircraft. And in a lot of ways, Airbus and Boeing are the opposite of the airline industry. They have a very high percentage of variable cost, which means they can fire a lot of workers, stop paying their suppliers, have them fire their workers, and they'll pull through, but the damage to the economy would be immense.
All right, Richard, last question from us. Anything that you want to say to our listeners tuned in right now around the country?
Yeah, Robert, thanks so much for asking. And there is something that really has been on my mind. I get asked a lot whether or not people are going to come back and resume travel. because they're getting used to all of this new technology. But I look around me and I look at this technology and it doesn't really provide any kind of meaningful substitute for either business or personal travel. We're living in a time of amazing technology, but none of it does the job of actually being there on the ground, whether for business or pleasure. So I'm very optimistic that we will get back to where
we are all on the same page. Yeah. And on that note, Richard, thank you very much for the check-in. Always great to talk with you. Our best to you and your family. We certainly hope you all stay safe and we'll talk soon, okay?
It's my pleasure and all the best to you and yours.
Thanks. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right. Richard Abalafi always gives good information, folks. The Teal Group is one of the top analysts out there in aviation for sure. Right now, it is time for us to pause for a few commercial messages from our sponsors. Always a good thing to do to pay the bills, but do stick around as RM World Travel is coming right up after these messages.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.